Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. Where else can you listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers? That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. So first-time listeners, you need to tune in every Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. Everyone sit back and enjoy. Let's start with the intro, and let's get the show on the road. It's the Rad Reality Show, the amazing Sunday night, and this is Ron Rad.
Tonight we talk Amazing Race. If you guys have a question, you guys can call in 347-237-5506.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for sharing your Sunday night here with us on the Amazing Race Second Pit Stop Show, hosted by one of the most amazing women I know, Mary Conley, from seasons 10 and 11 of The Amazing Race. Tonight is October 13, 2013, and we all just finished watching a great episode on CBS, so I know everyone is really ready to start talking about everything that just happened tonight. But before I get started, I need to get out a few quick announcements. I know everyone knows that here on the Rad Reality Show Network, we have a big family, and I just want to mention that we do have a Rad Reality Show family group on Facebook. If you would like to join that, please do so. When any of our family members are going through rough times, we do prayer requests, and we know that they're answered. We've seen it happen time and time again. So tonight, without giving out lengthy explanations, I'm just going to mention names of those who need prayers, and then we'll move on. But I do want to mention Pam Ekman and her sister Haley, Chi-Town Joe and his mom, Big Wig in the chat room, or Cindy Wigglesworth and her mom. And, of course, we're still asking prayers for Tilly. And we're using hashtag prayers for Tilly if you tweet. So I just wanted to mention that at the top of the show, and then we'll move on. In case we have any new listeners tonight, I'm Cherry Garcia, and with me is Paul from Minnesota. We'll be your co-host. We're going to say hi to Paul up in Minnesota, and then we'll bring on the host of our show. Paul, how are you doing up there in Minnesota?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. You don't care, but my Minnesota Vikings stunk up the joint big time today, and so that always leaves me a little saddened on Sunday night when that happens. But our Minnesota Wild won the other night, so that's something to cheer for. I want to tell people listening something that seemed to me quite extraordinarily coincidental, if you will. People that know or follow McCray knows that he went down to visit Amanda or stay down there in Florida. Well, Judd had an event that he invited them up to in Eastern Tennessee, and apparently Amanda and McCray drove up there, and at one point Amanda tweeted where she was in Georgia. I pulled up Google Maps, and they were 4 miles north of where the founder of this show lived, in a small town in Georgia, and I looked at it, and they definitely had just moments before driven through Ron's town. And a lot of people that know Ron knew that Amanda would likely been one of his favorites on this past season. And I just thought that was so cool that that had happened. I know it's a little thing, but I picked up on it at least.
When you told me that, you actually sent me a message the other night and told me that they had just passed through there, and that just sent chills through me to know that they were right there in his town. I couldn't believe it. I know he would have been so excited. You know, we both think about Ron so much. So that was really cool to know that they were right there in Chatsworth, Georgia. So, and you had mentioned your teams, and I wanted to mention that the St. Louis Blues broke a record by winning the first 4 games of the season. So I'm pretty proud of my St. Louis Blues right now.
Oh, so that's not an NHL, but a team record they'd never started. I mean, they've been around forever from the originals. I mean, they had never started off with 4 wins like that?
4 straight wins, right.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, pretty exciting. So they're off to a good start. I'm really proud of them. So hopefully this is going to be a great season. I'm looking forward to it. But without further ado, we'll stop talking sports, and I'm going to play Mary's intro song, and we'll bring up the host of our show. And here's her intro song to bring her on with.
While the coldest office place, and he hits his face, says, Lord, I want to thank you for everything, and the strength you give me, make it day by day. Oh, keep the lights on. Cars on a truck and a sundress on my baby girl. Oh, keep the bills paid. Clothes on the backs and the shoes on the feet in the high school. Proud to say they won't keep the lights on.
And let's say hello and welcome to Mary Conley of The Amazing Race Seasons 10 and 11. How are you doing, babe?
I'm doing great. Hello to you all.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, Paul.
So did you, were you listening when I had mentioned about Ron's little town? Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it was, but you know, Adam Corey Pink's causing a lot from Pikeville, from right here in my area. He went to the party.
Really? How far?
Yeah.
How long of a drive?
Well, Tennessee is anywhere from northern Tennessee is only about 2 hours from us.
Well, his town is like southeast of Knoxville, if I remember correctly.
Okay,
that
so we're
right?
about. We're about 2.5-3 hours from Knoxville.
And so have you talked with him yet?
He's supposed to be calling me tomorrow to let me know how everything went.
Cool.
But I thought, wow, I can't believe he's going, and he did.
Yeah, that's
so he got to meet him before I did.
That's quite a drive. But I guess the other person that showed up was Jeremy.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
And Gina Marie, right?
Gina Marie could not make it. She said whether it was the primary reason or not, she just had a little niece, a brand new baby was born. I don't know whose daughter it was, but
okay, because I thought Gina Marie and Nick had gone. Because Big Brother Diary room posted.
Nick actually showed up as well. He showed up with his crew a little bit later, but he also was there. I forgot about Nick.
Okay.
So that's a pretty good showing in a small little eastern, you know.
It is. And they took pictures, you know, because on different websites they're putting up pictures of it, and they were doing autograph signings. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Wish they'd
come to Eastern Kentucky here.
Well, they got
fairly close.
But, man,
what a night for the Amazing Race, guys. Have you ever seen that much time in an airport on the show?
Oh,
I know.
I knew you were going to be heartbroken. I had to tell three seasons in a row of Survivor, I had, like, watched the first episode, and right at the beginning of the first episode, and I pointed out people, oh, they're going to be my favorite this season, and they ended up on the very first episode getting voted out, and so I hesitate to say who my favorites are early on because I seem to jinx them, and I thought about you.
Yeah.
Before we go any further, Paul put together a clip that I would like to play.
Okay.
And it's actually of you and David from you being on season 10 of The Amazing Race.
Okay.
Only 7 years ago.
And it's just some highlights, a clip of some highlights of the two of you being on The Amazing Race together. So I'm going to play this right now.
Don't question me, Dave.
Well, that should be a hole in this place.
No, that's two halves. Now, you need to stop disagreeing and just do it.
I ain't disagreeing nothing.
Move everything else out of the way.
Is it all right? Good. Thank you.
Open it. Take a taxi to the pit stop. We need a taxi to the Great Wall Train.
Kentucky is finished.
Good luck. Oh, excuse me.
Thank you. Good luck.
Can we get in?
Thank all of y'all, okay? Thank y'all.
Lord have mercy. Great Wall of China. I cannot believe we're going to see it.
See it. We're going to repel it and zip it or something.
Okay. Climbing. TNT's going to beat us. If it's hard for you, you imagine how this is going to be for me.
Yeah, it's going to be really hard.
Okay. Now, how in the world do you expect somebody to do this?
It's not going to work that way, Tom.
I don't know if I can do that.
Tom, you could do it. Come on, honey.
David, I ain't helping another team, but Tom, don't panic and you'll be okay, okay?
I'm only halfway there.
David, go!
Harry.
Yeah?
You got to make sure you keep your foot in her.
Don't tell me right now you're helping people. Now go! I don't see me getting up this wall.
Don't look at me.
Use your legs as much as possible.
Lord have mercy, people.
That's it, push!
Shut up! Now I'm more than serious, Dave.
Yeah, I'm trying to help.
Then go back and shut up. That's how you'll help.
Okay, then go ahead. You got to use your legs. Push up with your left leg. Push. That's it, push.
Just shut up. I can do it. I can do it. And Dave, I'm sorry. I really am.
I love you, honey.
Yeah, I'm sure. And Dave, I'm sorry.
You got it, Mary. Do it. You're going to have the proudest kids in the world.
Okay.
I never thought she'd make it up, but she did.
Dave, I'm so sorry.
No, you done great.
All right.
David and Mary, you're team number 10.
What? David, you took me on the planet?
You guys are still in the Amazing Race. Congratulations.
Oh.
Why don't you hug your husband here? Okay.
Hug everybody.
Hug everybody.
That's good.
Y'all have been the hardest day of my entire life.
I tell you something, that right at the very first episode is why America fell in love with you two. It was so amazing. First of all, say in Chinese thank you again.
Xixi.
And
no.
Then,
yeah, Xixi.
Yep, and then you were sitting there helping, what's his name, Tom?
Tom and Terry, yeah.
Yeah, you were down there helping, and it was so cute when you found out you were still in the race, and you hugged Phil, and then the local guy. that was so amazing. I hope you enjoyed Walk Down Memory Lane.
Oh, that was so hard to do, guys. It was the hardest thing I've ever done in my whole life.
On YouTube.
You got me sweating all over again. I panicked looking at that wall. I was like, I'll never get up this thing. How do I walk around? Well, you couldn't walk around because Phil's on top. They had no choice but to climb it. They're not going to pull you up.
No.
Oh, it was so hard.
You and David grabbed the hearts of America. You grabbed the hearts of Rosie O'Donnell. And I don't know how many, like, national TV hosts fell in love with you. I mean, just people all over this country fell in love with you, and other countries as well. You and David were just such an amazing couple to watch. You were so down to earth. People could relate to you, and everyone just fell in love with you. You were so kind to the other teams and helpful. And you,
yeah,
but
people I wasn't all
that
kind
that.
To David, you know. I was always screaming at him, and I didn't even know that until I saw myself on TV.
But that's just how the two of you are together. And
I know, I realize that, but gosh, you don't realize things until you get to see yourself in life. You know, we just walk around invisible, and you think you're seen this way, and then you see yourself on TV, and you're like, oh, my gosh, is that me? It was just something, you know. It's pretty cool to be on TV because then you get to see yourself when you don't really see yourself anywhere else.
Right, right. I can imagine it would be quite the experience. But people fell in love with the two of you so much. And
well, I thank you.
I'm
it
so
was
glad
crazy. I don't know why,
you
though.
Were blessed in the ways that you were. Rosie saw the love in your heart. And, you know, as many times as the Amazing Race had been on, you know, we had seen 9 episodes previous to that, but we hadn't seen a couple be so kind and helpful to another team like you and David were. I think you were the first team that were just so helpful in reaching out to another team and helping another team so much throughout the race, not just once or twice, but throughout the race. You know, you were so helpful to others. And it was noticed, you know. You guys weren't mean in any way. And it was refreshing. It was so wonderful to see, a couple run through the race and be nice, you know. And, yeah, you guys might have spatted between yourselves, but it was apparent that that's just kind of how you guys interacted, you know. It wasn't mean or vicious or a hateful, you know, kind
there
of.
Was, Jerry, there was never any question how much the two of them loved each other. Never one question.
Never at all. You could tell that's just how they interacted, you know. It was just a wonderful season. And then you had to turn around and go right back for season 11. And how you guys did that, I have no idea. But
that was.
I was so glad
that
you did.
It was extremely hard. Because,
I can't
you
even
know,
imagine.
Just getting on that subject, we had just started TV. They asked us to go on again. And this was right after our first week on TV. We didn't, you know, it was crazy. And then they fly us out to New York to do the early show, and Rosie O'Donnell wanted us to be on The View, and then Regis and Kelly asked us to be on their show, and then, you know, we already knew we're going on All Stars in just a couple days. So, I mean, 2 days after we were on The View, we went back around the world. And so that was early November, and another show, Letterman, had asked us to be on. But
wow,
we were 2 days away from leaving, and the very next day was my son's birthday. And so us knowing that we're going to leave, and then, like, Davy's birthday is the 8th of November and Hannah's is the 13th, we're going to miss Hannah's anyway. So we always celebrate their birthdays together on one day or the other. So we came back home and celebrated their birthdays together and then left the very next day and went back around the world again. But just the emotions.
Wow.
I was having all these wild dreams. I can remember, like, in October, I dreamed, for some reason, me and my mommy and my family and my mommy went to Mexico City or something. We were on top of a mountain, and there was the ocean down at the bottom, and Hannah was really sick and in the hospital. This is a dream that'll never leave me. And so my mommy told us to go up, back up to our hotel on top of the mountain, and she'll stay with Hannah down at the beach at the hotel. So we start trekking up that mountain, and the next thing you know, a big tsunami comes and washes away everything below. And I woke up with them. It was just the worst dream in the world. And so my mommy is somebody who talks me through my stupid dreams, and she says, Mary, you're just overwhelmed. And that wave is your wave of emotions right now, and you don't want to leave your kids. And I didn't. But I'll never forget about that dream.
Wow. Well, your mom is a wise, wise woman.
She is.
But how cool is it that you were so wanted that you had to turn down Letterman? I mean, that's pretty big, Mary.
Yeah, but
that's pretty big.
You know,
I mean, how many people get to say I turned down being on Letterman? You know?
But it's bigger to say that I'm going to go around the world again. You know?
Oh my gosh, that's an incredible story, and
yeah,
your mom was very wise in talking you through that dream. I think she was right on the money.
I'm telling you, before we left, I was ready to get a divorce. I thought he loved being on TV more than he loved being a daddy. I was just a ball of emotions before All Stars. Because I did. I mean, it's so hard to leave your kids. And then to be told to do it again. I mean, you know, I'm not a single lady out here. I got some kids. It was hard. It's hard for any parent to leave their child to go on this race because, gosh, in my mind, you never know if an airplane's going to wreck or if somebody's going to kill you in another country. You don't know what's going to happen, guys. So you don't want to take a chance of going somewhere and never coming back either.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a few people that's lined up on the switchboard, I think, that would like to come on and chat with you, Mary. A few people that you might know. So let's get this party started. I'm going to bring on somebody that you know pretty well. Mr. Michael Cowboy Ellis, how are you?
Well, my pleasure. And I tell you what, Mary, I've been, you know, making fun of you in the chat room. But the bottom line is you and David are one of my closest friends of all times. And, of course, I did watch y'all in Amazing Race. And, you know, I tell you what, I know best about leaving your kids behind. And it's one of the hardest things that you can ever possibly do. And, you know, a quick story, and Mary, you know by watching me, the season prior before Big Brother 4, oh, my gosh, I went blank of who it was. But anyways, he was a father, left his daughter behind, and he cried through the whole show. And I made the comment, why is he crying? I mean, why is it that tough? I mean, toughen it up and play the game. And I go on the show the next season, and I'm bawling my eyes out because I miss my kid and fiance. And I tell you what, it's very tough. And then, of course, in season 11, when I did go back, I left four of my kids to go into sequester. And it bothers you. So much stuff goes into your mind. Are they okay? Are they going to be safe? And all this. And I don't know how much they tell you, you know, about your family, you know, being on Amazing Race, but I'm pretty sure it's probably nothing.
Oh, yeah, they didn't tell us nothing.
And so, I mean, it's one of the toughest things to ever go through. But, you know, I tell you what, you do it because, obviously, I know y'all's situation. You know, you did it for going for the $1 million. And that's why I think that, you know, when you said you thought that David loved being on TV more than he did being a father, I think in that situation he was just trying to be the man of the house, saying, you know what, here's another shot at $1 million for our family. And, you know, I think that would be something that would be tough, but I think that y'all made the right decision.
Well, thank you. Thanks for calling in, Cowboy.
Oh, I love you so much.
But no, you know, at that time I was just, I mean, I've never been through something like that in my life, and we'd just been around the world and didn't, I mean, they flew us to New York, and everybody, like every two steps I took, everybody knew me.
Right.
And it's, you know, we're in Times Square, and everybody's like, it's Mary and David, and I'm like, blown away, because we're from this little small place, and yeah, everybody around here knew us, but they already knew us, you know?
Right.
And then to go to New York City, and just your whole world is flipped upside down, because every step you take, somebody knows you, and you're not invisible no more. And I'm going back around the world again, and all through the holidays, Thanksgiving, you know, it was crazy. I just took it out on David. I was scared to death. But I do know that, you know, I still call him a TV hoe, because, yeah, he would love to be on any show coming and going.
Well, I want to
say, he doesn't have time to decompress yet, you know, from your first trip around the world.
Right, but he,
and I'm sure
David,
your emotions were.
That, because David thinks he can win anything. With me, I don't think I can win anything, nothing.
I think Cowboy knows that firsthand about David when they had that eating contest. Isn't that true? Cowboy?
Oh, what did you say? Say that again?
I said you know about David thinking he can win anything because you did that firsthand in your eating contest in New Hampshire.
Oh, my gosh. That was hilarious. He hardly touched it. Man, I literally have a video of him in the bathroom trying to throw up before doing the competition. He was getting ready for it. He was excited. He was going to kick everyone's butt. And then he probably ate, what, three sandwiches?
I think he ate three little sliders or something.
Yeah, but you know what? I love his attitude and everything about him. But, you know, real quick before I leave, I want to say about tonight's episode of Amazing Race is I think that would stink to have so many problems in the airport and get eliminated. And, of course, I've been to London before and Heathrow Airport, and that airport alone is crazy. And, of course, it wasn't because the airports, per se, it was just delayed because of mechanical problems. And I was really hoping that he was coming to the airport to Phil was going to say, you know what, you're still in the race. And because it wasn't totally all their fault, but, I mean, it was just one of them things where it's like, heartbreaking just to see that. And I give them props to go ahead and stop them right there, though, and not waste their time. I thought that was, I think, one of the first I've seen Phil go to the airport and stop a team.
I think it is one. I think I've seen it before, though.
Well, he went to...
Yeah, I think there was one other time.
Well, they were in the middle of a challenge. I think that was the first time he actually went to the airport and said, y'all are done. He did go back to, I mean, go into a challenge in the middle of a challenge and say, y'all are done. Oh, no, that's some history. There's so many amazing races.
I'm thinking
right.
There was, like, a fairly new season, like a couple of years ago, where somebody was, like, 2 days behind. And, you know, you get so far behind, then Phil's not going to make you waste your time. So
right.
I think that they were 2 days behind, and Phil met him at some airport somewhere and did it.
Wow. Well, anyways, I just before I leave, I want to say I love this season. I love you too, and Mary. I know we have not talked, but I still hope that you and David are still able to make it to Toys for Tots. It's going to be a great year, and you know, we will talk later, maybe tomorrow or the next day. You keep me in the prayers. I do go through surgery Wednesday morning.
I failed to mention you, but you're going to be having surgery, so I need to put you on that prayer request and keep you in our prayers as well, because you're going to have surgery, and so we need all of our Rad Reality Show family to keep you in their prayers for your surgery. We will keep everyone informed on how you're doing, and let us know how you're doing, okay?
I sure will. I'll make sure that
probably
I have
don't
my
worry
daughter.
About it. My baby girl, 2 years old, had the same thing done, and she was up and walking the next day. You're going to be fine.
Mary, I hate you.
You're going to be good.
Oh, I love you guys so much. And just so y'all know, just as of a little bit ago, Jen City did confirm that she will be at Toys for Tots again. So just let everyone know that.
That's awesome, Cowboy. Great news.
And it's pretty sure that we probably have Caitlin from this season as well.
Cool.
So that's Judd, Candace, Jesse, and
Caitlin. Yeah.
Way to go.
Guys,
I
tell you what, there's so many people that is already has confirmed. You know, of course, you got Jen from the Glass House. You've got
Kara Monaco.
Yeah, Kara. Oh yes, can't forget about. Oh yeah, I'm just smiling ear to ear. That's
Kara,
you know,
is coming.
Yes, Kara. Yes, she's coming.
Oh my goodness.
So we will literally have probably close to 20 people, because I think that we'll have a good little group from Big Brother Canada coming as well.
Wow.
Yes. So this will be probably the biggest that has ever happened. And I will have hopefully breaking news of what's going to happen next Thursday on the roundtable. And I'm looking forward to it. I will have 100% answer tomorrow, but we may have our entertainment for Friday night. And so I'm looking forward to it, and I will let everyone know. But I promise you guys, this is going to be the biggest that's ever happened for Toys for Tots. I know Panther's excited. I'm excited, and people are still signing up, so we will see what happens. But Mary, it's your show. I'm gonna get off here, and I love you guys. I hope that David is liking his job. He's probably not, but it's a job, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, give hugs and kisses to your kids, and I'll let y'all know what happens on Wednesday.
Okay, talk to us soon.
Talk to you later.
Cowboy, good luck to you. Keep us all in touch and let us know how you're doing, babe. We will keep you in our prayers, okay?
Thank you, guys.
We love you. Love you,
too. I love you, too.
Bye-bye,
hon. Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got another Michael is on the switchboard I'm going to bring up. Everyone knows and loves him. We've got Mr. Michael Doyle from the Whispers Group, Survivor Whispers.
Mary!
Big Brother whisper.
Hi, Michael Doyle.
You have the best line ever. I ain't disagreeing on nothing. I love that line.
I love Canada.
I love you. You're awesome. I'm like her biggest fan. She knows that too. Oh, man.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We might have to fight over that title, Michael. I'm a pretty big Mary fan myself.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll admit that. I'll be the third then, because Paul will probably want to go in second there. So So you got your three biggest fans, Mary, talking with you.
Why, thank you.
What do you think about Nikki and Kim this season? They're doing pretty well, aren't they?
Who?
Nikki and Kim, the basketball wives.
Baseball
wives, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that their names?
Is it Nikki and Kim?
It's Nikki and Amy? Or is it Nikki and Kim?
Nikki and Kim.
Okay. I think I love the way they're racing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what I really liked is they had the idea to go into the lounge. You know,
In
Vietnam, we got this little idea to do that, and so we went with the Beauty Queens and the Cho Bros into the Vietnam lounge. And we got in some big trouble for doing that because it was like lunchtime and we were all having to take connecting flights. And I'm telling you, it's the scariest thing ever to know that you have to connect in another country, because if you miss that flight, you know, which is what happened. So we go upstairs to the lounge and they're on lunchtime and we knock on the door. And the door was unlocked, so we opened the door and we caught the secretary with the big guy, you know, they were doing stuff they shouldn't be doing. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if they should be doing it or not, but we caught them. And so next thing you know, Vietnam police are there with guns, and they took, it was crazy, guys. We were scared to death, and we had to wait on them to look at all the tapes, because they had to use the footage from everything in Vietnam. They didn't want their country shown in a different light, you know, because it is a great place. We only had fun there. But it was scary thinking, oh, my gosh, we're going to be killed by some Vietnamese police or something. So with us, it did work out good, and we didn't get our connecting flight. We didn't get the flight we wanted. We had to take another one. But for them, it turned out good for them. I think they ended up getting third, right?
Not 100% sure.
Yeah.
They were, you know, very, very close up there.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Nikki and Kim.
Nikki and Kim
did come in
third.
Okay, good, because,
you know,
and they were at third place
when they
at the
left,
final, weren't they?
They were in last place, so they moved up the ladder quite a bit. They left at 1 a.m. in last place.
Right, and the first place team left at 6:27 p.m., so they were way
back. They were out.
I'm just going to quickly say my favorite part of tonight's episode was next week on The Amazing Race, when we got to see Nicole negotiating with Marie.
So that was pretty good, wasn't it?
What do you guys think about that puzzle piece when they have to move everything around according to the picture kind of thing? That was a neat little – I like those puzzles.
I thought, I would have loved to have done that one.
Yeah?
Because I can do puzzles.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I'm not the brightest fish in the pond, but you give me a puzzle, something like that, that will be something that I can handle. All right, guys, I'll sign off. I love you, Mary. You're doing awesome. And
thank you, Michael Doyle from Canada.
You're welcome, Mary, from the U.S. All right, guys, love you lots.
Nice to
hear
you,
Michael.
Okay, bye.
I just adore him.
I love him. He's awesome.
He is.
But no, I've never in my life seen so much airport time.
Wait,
I know.
Can I interrupt just for a second because I see you made another mic. I see you made another mic red, and I think he deserves at least an introduction after his tough weekend.
We have my husband, Mr. Rich, on with us. Hi, Rich. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. How are you? Hi, Paul. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Rich.
Hey, Rich.
You like your new house?
Love it. Love it.
Love it.
You all have to come and visit us. We have plenty of room for you.
I know. I've heard that. We'd love to visit St. Louis.
Hopefully the government will be back.
So who's your favorite team this year, Rich? Do you have a favorite yet?
I've been tossing it around. I like Brandon and Adam a lot. They really crack me up. Isn't that the right names?
I think it is.
They
call them the hair people?
No, they call them the bearded brothers or the beard
brothers.
Okay,
yeah, the bearded brothers.
I bet you somebody early on must have been, they probably have some people that are fans of Duck Dynasty, and I bet you they tried to call them that, and they said, no, you can't use the name from another show. But anyway,
maybe.
They're one of my... Yeah.
That's what Shady in our chat room has been calling them. He calls them the Duck Dynasty boys or something, Team Duck Dynasty.
They remind me of the hippies from season 9.
Yeah.
Like their old demeanor,
so
the way
too.
They're racing the race. They're doing it like it's all fun, and I'm telling you, I don't know how people race that race like it's fun, because it's not. But, I mean, they're just having the time of their lives.
I think they remind me of them as well, and I really like their attitude. I hope that, you know, things go smoothly for them, and they don't break any bones or have any of the bad luck, but... I really do think that they remind me of them as well, and I hope they go far.
I do too.
It would be great to see that, you know, happen for them. I love it when people can enjoy the race, you know, and then, you know, take it all in and just enjoy the gifts they've been given while racing such a hard, difficult race, you know, because it is so difficult. I don't know how people can enjoy it like they do and race with all the tension and stress and, you know, hard work that you have to put into it. I don't know how they can do it and enjoy it like they do, but it's fun to watch from home when you can see them, you know, taking in all the sights and culture and everything that's been offered to them and still, you know, make it through the race and see them really enjoy it as well. When you're watching it on TV, that's a fun thing to see. How they do it, I don't know.
I wish I could train it like that, but no. No, I hated every bit of it.
Mary, it always seemed like you were having fun.
Not at all.
You had your fun moments, right, Mary?
My funnest moments was while David was driving and I was looking at the countries. And then meeting the locals, you know, talking to people, and I can't speak their language, but just it's just so cool to realize that the world has a universal language. It's just, it's awesome.
That's
so
true.
It is so cool. I'm telling you all, just the getting to Mauritius and having to carry the mattresses and the little kids, because we had to carry mattresses to an orphanage. And the whole way, which felt like, honest again, it felt like 20 miles we walked with mattresses. But, I mean, it was probably not even a mile. I don't know, but it was hard. And these little kids pushing us, it was just amazing.
David would always
complain that I'm having so much fun while he's driving, because I'd be like, David, look at that mountain. He's like, Mary, I have to drive.
So, real quickly, they started off with 9 teams to remaining. They were in Chile, and They were headed to Lisbon, Portugal, to Martim Moniz Square. And there they would have to ride a tram to get to their next clue. And Chester and Ephraim left at 6:27. Leo and Jamal left at 6:39. Brandon and Adam at 6:58. Nicole and Travis at 7:11. Jason and Amy at 7:25. Tim and Danny at 12:25 a.m. Allie and Ashley at 12:27 a.m. Tim and Marie at 12:33 a.m. And Nikki and Kim at 1 a.m. in last place. At the airport, we saw...
But before you get to the airport, because I'm not exactly sure if you have this in your notes, but...
Oh, the taxi accident.
Yes!
Is that what you were going to say?
Yes!
Jason and Amy get in a taxi accident on their way to the airport.
Yep.
And he takes off. He didn't even stay. He takes off from the accident.
Yeah. I know.
I thought that was pretty cool. Watch this taxi driver say, "Oh no, it's okay," and you see the dent in the car and the vehicle in front of him, and he just takes off.
Which
that was a pretty
took them
big
a lot of time.
That was a pretty big dent in that bumper he hit, too. I mean, I'm surprised that they were able to keep going, but it was so funny because Amy, you know, Jason and Amy were, you know, being interviewed in the cab, and they had such a great attitude, and, you know, they made a comment about, but things can happen, and boom.
And it happened.
And by the way, just to remind people, Amy is somebody that our dear Michelle Costa is friends with. So there's that personal connection that we have.
Yes, Michelle Costa does. She actually does modeling with her, Anna.
Yep.
Wow.
They'll be doing an event, and I think at the end of October here, for a charity event. They model together.
Then not only that, where do they go? But they go to Portugal, where, you know, that's where Michelle's family is from. So I mean, it was kind of cool. Anyway,
can I ask a question
before you talk about the airport? I am just curious. It always seems like there's a group of people that go right to the airport and a group of people that go to travel agencies. Mary, what determines what you guys decide to do as far as getting airplane tickets?
Well, sometimes your clue has additional information, which is a whole other sheet that's typed up. And it'll tell you you cannot go to the airport to get tickets. You have to go to one of three travel agencies. Yeah, most of the time it doesn't. You just make your choice. And with us, we just followed the lead of what everybody else was doing. Because usually the way to the airport is always, you know, there's not all, I mean, in America, there's all these different roads to get to an airport. But in other countries, in the small cities or the big cities, there's usually one road to get there. And if you see, because we all have, you know, if you're driving the vehicle, you all have the same vehicles. Or if you see a taxi stopped at a travel agency, then you would pretty much stop there to see what they're getting, you know?
Okay.
But I think we only went, in two seasons, we went to the travel agency maybe three times.
Okay.
Most of everything we did were at the airport.
I'm sorry about that, Sherry, but that was just a question because there was, you know, some people that went to the airport and some that went to the travel agency, and
that's a good question, yeah.
Thought Mary could clear that up, but go ahead, Sherry.
So, because there's always this tension for getting, you know, the best tickets and the best seats, getting there first is, you know, the main objective. The bunnies were trying to get on standby for a particular flight, and they get into it with Tim and Marie, who have the express pass.
Can I, I'm sorry, I'm doing it again, but I'm going to say this right now. When you say they get into it, let's just split Tim off of that and say they get into it with Marie.
Well, that's kind of true. They get into it with Marie. And they have a nice little spat right there at the ticket counter with Marie. And the bunnies actually win, and they get on the plane and leave Marie and Tim to get on the next flight. And we see a little cameo of Marie, and she says, you know, they just pulled something that I would have pulled, and I didn't see it coming. But, you know, she actually said to them, and once they won the argument and got on the flight, she says, you're dead to me. And
yeah, and don't forget, this was two women that they had an alliance with last week.
I know. And
for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for 5 minutes. You're right, Rich. So, you know, she admitted that, you know, it's something she would have pulled, but she didn't like it being pulled on her. So that's a team that's off the express pass list.
Oh, but I had a feeling right from the start. I thought, great for Chester and Ephraim. They got the one and only seat on this early flight. And then sitting right next to them, Nicole and Travis, I think it was.
The doctors? Travis?
Yeah. And all of a sudden they said, oh, we get in at 7. And they said, what? They told us that was the only seat. And they come to find out that the travel agency person booked them for a day later.
Right. Yes.
Right off the very beginning in their travel journey. It just was heartbreaking. On and on they went.
But, you know, when you book a flight that has 5 different changes of flights, you know, or should know, that there's something that's going to go wrong when you're on the Amazing Race and you've got 5 flight changes to get to your destination. I mean, that's just too many. Something's going to go wrong. And I knew when they said that there was 5 plane changes to get there.
Yep.
Something was going to happen. And
yep. I'm saying yep like McCray. Yep.
So
I want to give props to somebody that we don't even know their name and they're not in the race. But how cool was it? First of all, it was funny as hell that Amy was sitting at a ticket counter, you know, pretending like she worked there and was making jokes about, you know, not your flight has been canceled or something like that. But all of a sudden we get a phone call, and it is the woman from the travel agency that felt so badly about getting the wrong ticket that she actually reached out at the airport to get a hold of Chester and Ephraim. I just thought that woman should be commended for doing something like that. She didn't have to do that.
That's so true.
That's very true. But at the end, in the end, that could have been what got him out.
Yeah, maybe. But I still thought it was awfully.
But yeah,
awfully,
I mean,
nice.
You know.
But they took a calculated risk effective. And knew they were doing it.
Yep.
I mean, they even said, you know, this could screw us up if we don't make our connection.
Yeah.
That's my thing. Don't do something if you think it's going to screw you up. Don't do it.
Well, next time
they knew it was a risky move.
So next time they're on the race, they won't do it.
So Nicole and Travis and Jason and Amy and Nikki and Tim were on the first plane. Brandon and Adam and Danny and Tim were on the second plane. And then basically everybody else was on the following flights. And when they get there, they have to figure out that a painting is telling them that they have to go to the Museu Nacional de Dos Coches, which is basically a coach museum.
I have to point out something that I don't know if everybody caught, but Chester and Ephraim, when they knew that they were, you know, all these flights were maybe going to screw them up or it could push them into, a good advantage, did you hear them say Beekman Boys Part 2?
Yes.
The Beekman Boys.
I'll get ready to Google Beekman Boys Part 2. What is that?
They won. It had something to do with how something that they did on the race, but they ended up, you know, they won. Was it last season's? Yeah.
They took a calculated risk like that?
They must have, but I just, it's cool to hear somebody making reference
to,
because
I liked the Beekman Boys last year, but I don't remember, you know, I don't remember
like
everything
that.
They did in the airport, you know?
Right. So,
and then
yeah,
they're running off and they say, Beekman Boys Part 2, and I thought, I'm going to Google that.
Anyway, so to pick up, they get those pictures, whatever they're called, yeah.
Jason and Amy and Nicole and Travis are kind of working together. They want to try to outdo the Baseball Wives. And... It's a detour. It's tiles or miles. And on tiles, they must assemble tiles that look like a figure of either a woman or a man. And it's dozens of tiles. It's a very complicated puzzle. And once they're finished, the tile master will come out and give them their clue. Miles, they have to use a giant navigational instrument to figure out the total distance the Explorer Magellan traveled in distance in nautical miles to 10 different destinations, and they will give them their clue if they come within 500 miles of the total, which is 16,500 miles. If they come within 500 miles of that, they will give them their clue. So,
did you guys notice the first team that chose that detour, there was hardly anybody there, but as the later
Jason
team showed up, they...
It got very crowded, didn't it?
There
was
tons of people
that
just surrounded them.
I don't know if that was just... The time of day where more tourists were there, or they saw the cameras and just started it. Do Mary, you can tell me when the local people start seeing cameras, do they start just like flies to the, you know?
Yeah, a lot of people love to see cameras, but then there's other people who will shy away. But I think it's also, this is Magellan's map, you know? It's just as if they had done something at the Empire State Building, you know. And this is a huge place, and they have. I'm pretty positive they probably have a lot of visitors there every day, but I think a lot of it might have had to do with they saw a lot of camera people there too.
Jason and Amy and Nicole and Travis are working together, and they got it on their first try, which was really good. I mean, they really knocked that one out. Quickly.
It seemed like a lot of math, didn't it?
It did.
Yes. Because they were saying something divided by times, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
I also liked it when Travis said that you all need to look around and check this place out while you're in the middle of your competition.
Yeah, that was
awesome
cool.
Because
the girls were so busy doing the math, the boys was looking around.
Right. Tim and Danny also chose miles. Nikki and Kim chose tiles. Brandon and Adam chose tiles. Tim and Marie chose tiles. Leo and Jamal chose Miles, and Allie and Ashley chose Miles, but then they couldn't figure it out, so they wound up switching to the tiles later and finished the tiles portion of the detour.
I thought it was funny that
when they say again.
Go ahead, Paul.
No, I thought when they, you know how they always say, you know, you can choose tiles or miles, and then they describe what the challenge is. Phil made a point of saying some very fragile tiles, and I thought every time somebody stood those puzzles up, I thought the fragile is going to come into play, and then it's going to fall down, and they're going to have to start. But it really didn't happen. The fragile part didn't really happen that much until we get to our favorite team.
Yeah. It was one team that had problems with the tiles, and that was our favorite, Tim and Marie. And their tiles kept falling and breaking, and they considered using the express pass. But they didn't, and they made it out. But the clue basically said that they were headed to Club Portuguese de Tiro a Chumbo at Parque Florestal Santo.
Oh,
please forgive me if I'm screwing
you,
any
Jerry.
Of this up, because and the roadblock says, who has hands for slings and arrows? And basically, teams must put on armor, including helmets and chainmail. And Jason got there and hit his on the first shot. Travis missed his first one, but I think he got it on the second or third try. And then Nikki and Tim, I don't recall which one of them actually did the arrow, but
I think it was
they
Nikki.
Got theirs. She got hers like on the second one. Adam got his on the first try. Jamal got his on the first shot. Allie was actually talking about her grandfather being from Portugal and how he taught her to shoot a bow and arrow and how he would be really disappointed if she didn't get it. And she shot her arrow and she got hers on the first try. I was so happy for her because she had this background.
We are going to have to, if Michelle hasn't watched that episode, Michelle Costa, we're going to have to get her hooked up with Allie because they certainly do have a lot in common with both their grandparents, you know, having been there. I mean, where Michelle's family comes from is way off in the Azores, off the coast of Portugal, but still I thought that was kind of cool that her grandfather came from there. But, you know, that competition, shooting the arrows, I think was a lot harder than what the editing showed. That looked really tough, in my opinion.
I agree with you. I think it did look tough. But I want to kind of try to move this along because I know Mary can't stay too long. So it says, after they get through with that, they have to make their way to Castelo dos Mouros. And Jason and Amy appear to be in first place. And their taxi takes them the wrong way. And it takes them to the entrance where you basically have to walk in. And they lose their 7-minute lead over Nikki and Travis. Or Nicole and Travis. And so Nicole and Travis come in first place, and they win a trip to Costa Rica. So Jason and
Our
Amy come in
us
second.
Our taxi hit us like that in Beijing because we had to go to Tiananmen Square, and that's when there was a surprise pit. Well, it wasn't even a pit stop. Just they threw out a mat, and Bilal and Saeed got on it because they were last, and Phil eliminated them before even a pit stop. But our taxi led us out like all the way around, and you're supposed to be getting out right there where the little ticket booth is to draw your time for the next day. And he said, you know, get out. And so we start walking, and then next thing you know, all these taxis are just going right by us, and we're like, there goes another team, there goes another team, while we're walking all the way around Tiananmen Square.
Oh, that ain't fun. Gosh.
But yeah.
It had to be heartbreaking.
Every season, how many taxi drivers mess up somebody's race? It's part of the show.
Yeah.
We've got somebody on the switchboard that I think would like to say hi to you, Mary.
Okay.
He's on Skype, and I can't push one, so let me bring him on.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How is everybody?
Hi. We're doing great.
That's good. So that was an interesting show tonight with the football players ending up in last because of a plane.
Oh.
It was.
That was so tough because they do, Daniel, have such a great attitude. I don't know if I could have had that kind of outlook. I would have been so angry, but they rolled with the punches, you know?
Yeah, and I was hoping this would be a non-elimination
Me
part
too.
Of the race. I so was hoping he would say that, like Phil show up and say, sorry, you are the last team to arrive, but this is not elimination part.
Yeah, me
well,
too.
Hey, how about what Phil did to Tim and Marie? You are the last team to arrive.
I know.
Except they deserved that, didn't they? That was so cool.
That was so funny, though, because they could have used the express pass and actually got there quicker.
Nikki and Kim did come in third. They went from being last place to third, which was great to see a team move that many spots up in the race. Tim and Danny came in fourth. Brandon and Adam came in the middle of the pack, basically, in fifth. Leo and Jamal, team Afghanimals, came in sixth. Allie and Ashley came in seventh. Tim and Marie came in eighth. And I put down in my notes that the knight standing next to Phil asked Marie if she could trade Tim in for him.
I think that is a first. I've never seen one of the people who stand beside Phil talk.
Yeah,
I know.
Say welcome to Lisbon, Portugal. You know, I've never seen them actually talk to, not on the camera.
Yeah.
Well, you can't blame the guy for trying.
Yeah.
I guess.
I'm glad you wrote that down, Sherry. That was a good highlight.
But of all people, he had to pick Marie. He would have been giving her back after a day, right?
Right. I want to switch back with Tim now. After one lap.
And then Phil meets Chester and Ephraim at the airport and tells them that they've been eliminated from the race. And they went from first place to last place, and it was really a heartbreaker. And I was so sorry to see them go. They seemed like they would have been a really fun team to see, you know, play out this race. And so they seemed to take it very well, but it was hard to watch.
They're just going to go home and go on that trip now that they won.
Well, that's true. and then we see next week on the Amazing Race, they plunge into the Arctic, and we see Nicole and Travis making a strong play for the express pass. But if you see the look on Nicole's face at the very end, it doesn't look like it played out. I'm just saying.
Yeah, apparently what Marie, it seemed to me that Marie was trying to find out where they should go next or answer some question. And Nicole makes, at least Marie believes that Nicole, you know, has the answer. And she basically says, I'll tell you if you give me the express pass.
Which is pretty smart.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it'd be pretty cool if she got it.
And apparently Marie didn't want to share the express pass, and Nicole says, all right, we're leaving. And then she gives a look to the camera like, oh, well, you know.
So do you think that CBS or the editors make us think that she doesn't give it up? Do you think we'll find out next week that Marie actually does give it to Nicole? What do you think is going to happen?
I think they'll get it. Well, I think that, that Nicole and Travis are, you know, let's see, they're adamant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it seems to me like the express passers, Tim and Marie, are lost, or they haven't found their clue, they haven't found where they're supposed to go or whatever. And they seem to stress out a lot too, but they seem good under stress. So to me, if they stand their ground, unless they find another option, then they're going to have to give them the express pass, because that's what she says this week, is we have to use it as leverage. If you need, yeah.
Have you ever seen a team
Marie's
that has
Marie's
going
to have to find somebody
or...
she's going to have to like or at least tolerate.
Like nobody does she.
I know.
What were you asking, Rich?
I was just wondering if anybody's ever seen a team that had the express pass that gets less kissing up and, you know, attention from the other teams than those two.
Yeah. Any kissing up that we've seen so far has been really short-lived, hasn't it?
Yeah, we haven't seen
quite.
Yeah,
that's a great
point. I mean, when
point,
the baseball wives did it, they kissed up to Tim, but not to Marie, you know, because it was all about David DeJesus and you, and so that's how they got to him. I think Marie kind of scares people off.
Yeah, kind of.
And as we know, she's in charge.
Yeah.
I'm in charge of this express pass. Damn it.
Now, you don't think they would go and completely just not use that at all, do you?
Well, I think last year somebody was eliminated with it in their hand.
That's true. I'm just, I don't know if... The second one, when the seasons have had two express passes.
Would they not give it away? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Right.
This might be the team not to give it away because they don't like nobody. But maybe it's, I don't know, we didn't have express pass on our seasons. But maybe it's, if you get, you know, I'm sure they know the rules. Because I would think that they have to give it away by the fifth leg, like Phil said. So she's going to have to, like, button up her pants and give it to somebody.
I think
Rich is right, though. I mean, there's never been a season where they've had the express pass in play and they've received less kissing up than this team has. I mean, there's been just so little play for that express pass because of the dislike for Marie that it's hardly been mentioned in, at least on, you know, the edits that we've seen, because nobody wants to interact with her.
I'm curious. I think, don't you think maybe by next episode we're about due for a non-elimination leg? Isn't that about time for one of those?
I think so. I thought this time would be, but...
Yeah, I was, like you were saying, Daniel, I was kind of hoping tonight as well, because the NFL players were just such nice guys.
As long as I use the non-elimination part when Team Duck Dynasty gets last.
I don't want to do that.
I'm still waiting for Uncle Si to show up with some iced tea.
Oh, my good old Uncle Si.
I'd like to see Mountain Man read somebody a clue.
Oh, my goodness.
That would be great.
What did he say? What did he say? Say it faster. This is only an hour show.
It would take so long.
Yes, Jake. That comes in will.
Oh, my goodness.
Imagine doing a blog talk.
I certainly enjoyed hearing your clip that Paul put together for you. Hearing you back on the race was so much fun. I would love to see an All-Stars and see you and David back on the race again.
Oh, no, we're fine. Yeah, I'll let David go with anybody this time. I don't want to ever do it again unless they sent me to Australia, and then I'd go to Australia, and then I'd probably just tell Phil send me home.
You wouldn't do an All-Stars again?
Jerry, I ain't lying when I tell you it ain't fun. Nothing about it is fun.
I say we need to see Jerry Rich or Terry and Paul do it.
If they ring your phone
tomorrow
and said
I would ask
you
to send me to Australia first. That is no lie. I've talked to David about it. I want to go to Australia because it's the only continent besides Antarctica I've not been to. And plus, I've always wanted to go to Australia. And so I'd love to go to Australia, but after that, I wouldn't care about it. I mean, I don't go on a race thinking I'm going to win $1 million, guys. I don't think it's possible for me to win $1 million. I mean, the first time I went, yeah, I thought I could win $1 million. Then I got on there and realized, nope. It's a, you know, when you got a girl with one leg that can beat you up a wall, then you're in trouble. So I learned easy on, and it's awesome. I mean, it really is, and just the memories later, it's just awesome. But it ain't worth it, guys. I mean, it is, but I already been around the world twice, so it ain't worth it for me no more, because that ain't fun. It's stressful. It makes you feel like, I mean, I'm telling you, it gives you headaches, and I'm hyperventilating thinking about it. It's not fun. It's not fun at all. I can remember we'd be at a challenge, and Bertram would be like, come on, Mary, you can climb the Great Wall of China. You can climb it. You can do it. And we got these little mics hidden in our shirt, and I pulled it out, and I'm like, Bertram, I hate you with everything in me. I hated Bertram more than I hated anybody. And the happiest I ever was seeing Phil every time. Because that's just, wow, I finished a whole nother leg, and I get to go to a new country. But then you wake up the next day, or you wake up 6 hours later, and you're like, oh, my gosh, it's starting again.
Oh, my goodness. You are
I'm
too funny.
I'm telling y'all. I don't know how people say, I mean, I really do. I admire the hippies for making it fun, and I admire the bearded guys for making it fun, but I'm just thinking they're lying to y'all. And they're getting the best edit on earth, because I know good and well they're not having fun, guys. I'm telling you. They're getting a great edit because those guys are stressing out at some point. It is not fun.
Let me ask Mary, because I know that he can't watch it on Sunday nights, but has David been able to watch it later on? Is he enjoying his season?
Yeah, he's watching it Monday morning when he gets home, be it 11 o'clock, and, like, you know, because he's working crazy hours where he's the boss. So last week I think it was 2 o'clock in the day when he got home, and before he goes to bed, we watch The Amazing Race.
So
it's pretty cool because I get to watch it the second time without the kids because they're in school. So I catch up on a lot of stuff.
Does he have any favorite teams yet?
You know, David, he's always a girly fan. He loves his girls, and they got two sets of cute ones.
Yeah, okay.
But plus, David's a big, huge baseball fan. And then the baseball wives,
right.
He thinks if he met them, he might get to meet David DeJesus and all that.
Okay.
So, yeah, David loves his girls.
They need to well, have some more brining challenges.
Yeah. You need to pass along our love and to David when you talk with him from us.
I told him today when I talked to him that we missed him.
He just doesn't think. He says, well, we can go get us a cell phone and I can call from work. Because from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock, he's there on his own. He's pre-shifting, and he has to. You know, he goes underground, he checks for gases and marks it up, and then he comes outside to the office and writes it down. And so he's thinking, while I'm in the office, I can call in. And I'm like, David, why are you going to call in? You didn't even watch it.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say, is he so badly wants to call in and be with you and be a team on the air with you, even though he has
but
yet
he
to
is.
Watch the episode.
And the thing is, he's nothing like me. With me, I love spoilers. I mean, if somebody would tell me the whole boot list of Survivor right now, I would be their biggest
friend. I don't
want
to hear it. I'm going to
But I love
ears.
Spoilers.
I hate them.
If he got on here, he'd be like, there ain't no need in me watching it now. Because see, that's my little trick with baseball, with sports. When he comes home, I'll switch it over to ESPN in a hurry, and they'd be talking about the Reds or whatever. He'll like, because he has it recorded from the night before where he went to work, and thinking I'm gonna sit here and watch a 4 or 5 hour game in the middle of the day. I don't think so. I ain't taking that time out. So I just put it on ESPN, and he comes in. Well, why'd you show me? I have the game recorded. Ain't no use to watch it. Yep, there ain't no use to watch it.
Way to go, Mary.
you've learned all the tricks, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I wished I'd known that last year or year before that. Just now after 18 years figuring out he don't like spoilers.
There you go. You've got it figured out.
It's pretty cool. But I will let you
I'm glad
go.
You get to watch the race a second time.
I am glad
with
you all
David.
Cheered me up tonight. I was feeling pretty bad today.
Aww.
Now, Paul, thank you for reminding me of China all over again. It really was pretty awesome.
Well, we must be somehow connected because I was inspired to do that for whatever reason, and I'm so glad that cheered you up and doing the show did. I'm glad you shared that with us, sweetie.
Well, thank you all. Honest to goodness, you just made my night. I can't wait to talk to my mommy and Rita about y'all.
Well, you tell your mommy and Rita that we love you and we love them too, and give the kids a great big hug from us, and you take care, and we'll do it all again next Sunday night.
Next Sunday night, guys. Can't wait. I hope that express pass gets given away. Sick and tired of hanging in the balance.
Okay,
love
y'all,
guys.
He said hi, and we miss him.
I sure will. Bye-bye.
All right, you take care,
Mary. Take care,
Mary. All right. All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Rich. Bye, Cherry. Bye, Paul.
Bye-bye,
hon. Well, I do want to remind everyone that the event Toys for Tots is coming up quickly in New Hampshire. And just so everybody knows, the dates are December 6th, 7th, and 8th. And if you have any questions, you can contact Michael Cowboy Ellis or Panther Kitty on Facebook, or you can contact myself, Cherry Garcia, and we'll get information to you. It's a great event for fans to go to and get to spend some real quality time with the reality stars that go to this event. You're actually with them pretty much all day, each day that you're there. And it's just a very different event. You really spend so much time with the reality stars. And Cowboy dinner on Friday night for everyone there. And it's just a really different kind of setting. It's very well organized. So much fun. And so if you are thinking about doing an event, this is
a really wonderful one to do. Look on Facebook, and there is a Toys for Tots New Hampshire Facebook page as well. Check it out. If you have any questions about it, contact one of us. And we'd love to see you there. So if you're thinking about doing something like this, this is a fun one. As we had mentioned at the top of the show, Candace, Judd, who else? Jesse, and who else just got signed, Paul? Oh, Caitlin.
Gen City. But
are going to be there from Big Brother 15.
Yeah.
There's going to be a number of people from Big Brother Canada, as well as some people from the Glass House, and just I know that some people from different reality shows are going to be there. So look it up. They'll be posting a list of all the reality stars soon who have confirmed, but it is always, always, always one of the most fun events to go to, and it helps, you know, a lot of kids who need toys at this time of year, and so it's a great charity event to attend as well. Just wanted to throw that out there in case anybody would like to attend Toys for Tots New Hampshire. I know that they're signing up more and more people, and it's just a great time. So contact Cowboy, Panther, or myself, and we'll get you all the information you need. And I want to thank everybody for being here with us tonight, and make sure you're back here with us tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central for the Manic Monday Show with Michelle Costa. And then again on Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central for the Survivor Roundtable Show with Michael Cowboy Ellis. We're going to close the show tonight with Ron, as we always do, to close out the show. God bless you. Take care. And thanks for spending your Sunday evening with us. It's been a fun one. Here's Ron. Take care, everybody. God bless.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in.
God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
It was a great one. Thanks to Mary Conley for being our host. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Shady. And to all our listeners who have been in the chat room and were listening live, and to all our podcast listeners who will listen to the show later. Take care, everybody. God bless. Good night.